Yesterday was my birthday, and for all of you all who were not able to fly to D.C. and celebrate with me, well, just leave your gifts at the door when you leave. Oh, just kidding. I spent my birthday at home. I even, around about 8 o'clock, took the dog out and let him run around. Real quiet and peaceful, and I was standing there. You know, I got reflecting on the last 51 years. I thought about some things I did not accomplish and goals I had and that I didn't make. And then on the other hand, I got to thinking about all the good things in life the last 51 years, all the spiritual blessings in Christ, being a part of a great fellowship here in heaven, and all those great things. And then I stopped and I got to thinking again, well, where did the time go? Where did the time go to? Days just flew. You know, we get caught up in what I call the days of our lives. Clock goes off. We jump up and run towards the shower, clean yourself up. Grab some food, throw it in the bag. Grab your cup of coffee and you're gone. Then you come home in the afternoon or come home at night or whenever you get off work. That it's over and you start all over again. And again. And again and again and again. Before you know, days have piled up. Years have piled up. And these are what I call the days of our lives. In the Bible, it speaks of time. It speaks of the days of our lives and how they are. It's so easy to get caught up in routine. It's so easy to get caught up in providing for your family and doing all the things that we do. And the next thing you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years have passed on by. And you stop and you wonder what happened. They're gone. The days of our lives, if I could say something this morning as to go along with our lives and days of our lives and as years pass by, first thing I would like to say is that the days of our lives, they are very swift. That they are very swift. You know, sometimes people put off things that they're going to do and they say, I'm going to do it one day, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And next thing you know, 20 or 30 years have passed by. I know personally myself, there's a faucet I bought about, probably 3, 4, 5 months, lying right there in the bathroom. I keep saying, I'm going to put it up, I'm going to fix it. I haven't got around to it yet, but I will. But there are some other things more important than fixing faucets. You know, if you put off salvation, and the next thing you know, 15, 20, and 30 years have passed by, and you fail to obey the gospel, and the next thing you know, your life could be gone. Then one day, as I said the last time I spoke, one day they could be bringing you in here in a box. Life came to an end so swiftly. And you never obeyed the gospel. For see, the days of our lives, they are so swift. It would take the book of James to remind us that. In James chapter 4, James will say, starting at verse number 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He pictures life as like a vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. And one will say, well, you know, I live to be 80 or 90 maybe. Well, it's only a little short time. For the days of our lives, they're very swift. In the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 78, starting at verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh and breath that passes away and does not come back again. Look how the psalmist described life. Breath. It's breath. You know how short a breath is? It's gone. And Psalms 103. Psalms 103. At verse number 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As flowers of the field, so he flourish. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. One day you see the flowers in the fields. Next day, they're gone. But see, the days of our lives are swift. They come, they go, they're gone. While you're in the book of Psalms, look at 144. In Psalms 144, start verse number 3. Lord, where is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. There are so many pictures that's painted throughout the Bible of man's life. It's been swift, brief. He says it's like a shadow. If you're living your life thinking, well, you know, I'm probably going to live to be an average of about 75 or 80. And, you know, I got about 50 or 60 years to do all the things I want to do and live like I want to. And then maybe down the line, I'll correct some things. Who to say you're going to live that long? Life is swift. What we have now are the days of our lives. And they move so swift. During Thanksgiving dinner, this past week, we was reminiscing, talking about some things of the past. And I was trying to tell some of the younger generation who seemed to have it all figured out through technology, I was trying to tell them about the toys that we had as kids and the fun we had with those toys, mainly because we made those toys. And I was trying to explain to them how we made the toys. And as I began to explain to them, I could vividly see in my mind how we made those toys. And it was very clear. And this was 45 years ago. I'm thinking to myself, whoa, what happened? Where did the time go to? Time! move quickly. These are the days of our lives that we're living, and they're moving ever so fast. Secondly, when we think of the days of our lives, how are they to be lived? If you remember last Sunday morning, Brother Haley, Brother Robin, he talked about having Jesus' approval on several things. He asked a question, does Jesus approve of hypocrisy? The whole message got down to the point of that lives that we live are to be approved by God, by his words. The days of our lives, they are to be lived pleasing who? God. If I spend all of my life trying to live to please my wife, if you spend all your life trying to live to please your husband or please your friend or be something that you're not, and come day of judgment, you have missed the boat. You failed. These are the days of our lives that God has blessed us to have, and we are to live these lives pleasing God. It's a challenge each and every day. Each and every day we get up and we go into the world, whether it's to work or school, wherever the case may be, it's a challenge to make the right choices, to do the right thing, to say the right thing, but we can do it and we can live our lives pleasing God. See, these or the days of our lives that we have. What are we going to do with them? Colossians chapter 1. I've always liked those passages. Colossians chapter 1. Start at verse number 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, does not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae, that they would have wisdom and understanding, and that they would walk worthy of the Lord. What? Fully pleasing him. Paul desired for the church at Colossae, for the members there, to live a life that would be pleasing unto God. The days of our lives should be such. Each and every one of us, we must live the days of our lives seeking to please God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Start at verse number 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica that this is something you already know. But I'm going to encourage you and teach you to do these things so that you walk what? Walk and please God. In their life, their day-to-day life, Paul had a great desire to encourage them, to teach them to walk, to live in a way to please God. These are the days of our lives, and as we live them, we're going to have to live them pleasing God. For if we don't, at the end, we must give account for it. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. It would be the very last verse of Psalm chapter 18. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The attitude that I see here from the psalmist is the attitude that he is concerned about the words that come from his mouth. He is concerned about the meditation, the thoughts that he has modeled in his heart. He's concerned about those things so that they can be pleasing and acceptable to who? To God. What an attitude to take on. For you and I, what about our speech? What about the things that we think about? What about the meditation of our hearts? As we live our days, as we are part of the days of our lives, do we focus and concentrate on these things being acceptable unto God? See, these are the days of our lives. That being the case, they are to be lived pleasing God. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives some encouragement to the church there. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse number 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. Ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Encouraging words. He tells them that let their conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And that they were to stand firm, holding on to truth, living by truth. If we do these things, then we will be living our lives pleasing God. For day by day, we live. These are the days of our lives. We are to live them pleasing God. Romans. Very familiar verse, but sometimes it comes a big stumbling block for many. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, going downward. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beautifully stated. Commandment that Paul gives to the church at Rome. That they were to live holy lives, that they were not to be changed by the world. Sacrificial lives. And by doing so, they will be living lives that will be pleasing unto God. For see, we ought to do the same thing, because these are the days of our lives that we have now. And they are to be lived pleasing God. Thirdly and last, as I get older, spending more time now thinking about life, death, and the judgment, that be the case, days of our lives, we need to spend them living with the expectation that Christ is going to return. Just think how it would change the whole world if people became serious and woke up one morning living their life with the expectation that any time Christ could come, and if they're really serious, they would grab their Bibles and would obey the gospel. Wouldn't the world change? But you and I, who are Christians, we know that the Bible teaches very clearly at any given time Christ could return. So therefore, we must live our days, each and every day, living with the expectation that Christ is going to return. When? The Bible doesn't teach when. If you go around trying to predict what day the Bible says Jesus is going to return, you fall in the category of many others. False teacher, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But what the Bible does say, John chapter 14, Jesus says these words. Sorry, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Beautifully stated by Jesus. Words of encouragement to people of that time and to you and I. That Jesus says that he's coming back. So the days of our lives, we must live with the expectation that Jesus is going to return. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Starting at verse number 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Beautifully stated by Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to return. On that great day that I return, there's going to be a separation. between the sheep and the goat, the righteous and the unrighteous. On that day, there's going to be a day of reward. Those who have been faithful and those who have been unfaithful. There's going to be two destinations on that day. Heaven and hell. See, the days of my lives, I am to live these days with the expectation that Jesus is going to return. Isn't that what Paul taught the church at Philippi? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse number 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to the glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul reminds those people in Philippi that their true citizenship is in heaven. He reminds them that Jesus is going to return, and he also reminds them of a new body. Exciting! But see, the days of our lives are to be lived expecting Jesus to return. If by doing so, then you and I would also be careful in the things that we get involved in, the things that we say, the places we go, things that we wear, and on and on and on. Why? Because we know that Jesus is going to return. The days of our lives, they are to be lived expecting Jesus to return. Titus chapter 2 teaches the same thing. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, starting at verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own people, zealous for good works. The writer says we ought to live how? Godly. We ought to live soberly, righteously, looking and waiting for Jesus to appear so that we may go back and be in heaven with him. See, the life that we have, the days of our lives, we live them now expecting Christ to return. Now, if you're not living your life that way, setting yourself up for a big disappointment. The Bible teaches Christ is he's going to return. It's going to be a day of reward. The days of our lives, these days that we have, the days that we've lived, and days that we are living, and hopefully they live more. Do you know that those days are viewed by God? We look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 through 14. It makes it very clear that he knows everything we're doing, everything we have done, everything that we are to do. Even the little secret things, he knows. For see, he knows how we spend the days of our lives. The days of our lives, this is what we have to live. The best we can.